we're on a merry-go-round of promotion, like so many businesses are, and you're ending up focusing on the things that you shouldn't be focusing on. How do we annualize the promotion that we ran last year to try and drive the same? It takes away from the focus on delivering what you should do, which is amazing product and great in-store and digital experiences.
It's the E-commerce Masterplan Podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. And a huge thank you to Brad from Remarkable for introducing us to this brilliant guest. Thank you very much, Brad. In this episode, we are kicking off another fashion month. You loved it last time we did this. So all this month, we will be talking to fashion brands. So if you are loving a bit of fashion, if you're selling fashion, then you definitely need to listen to these. And whatever you're selling, you're still going to learn a huge amount from these brands. We are starting with a dive into menswear. Any Britpop fans listening out there, breathe deeper, daydreamer. But back to the topic at hand, we are talking menswear. We are talking about how a big, big British menswear brand has broken their reliance on discounts. So anyone who's going, we do too many discounts, how do we stop this? You're going to find out in this episode. Spoiler alert, there's no quick fix, but it can be done and it does pay off. We'll also be talking a bit about SEO, and we will be talking about how you can break the seasonality or even out the seasonality of your business as well. So there's loads of cool stuff coming up in this. I get properly distracted by the awesome value our guest is giving in the top tips as well. So make sure you listen right to the end of the show so you get those recommendations as well as the main piece of our interview. Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success focused ebook for you, packed with 500, yes, 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook. And now to introduce our special guest. Matt Henton is head of e-commerce at Moss, the men's suits and formal fashion brand. Founded in 1851, yes, 1851, Moss now sell via their Remarkable e-commerce site and 110 physical stores around the UK. Hello, Matt.
Hi, Chloe. Great to be with you.
Brilliant to have you on. We don't often... We occasionally talk men's fashion rather than women's fashion, but we almost never talk suits. So excited to have a suit brand on. But before we get into Moss and what you're up to there, how did you end up in the world of e-commerce?
So I started my career working for a consumer ISP many, many years ago, back in the days when it was dial up. And
wow.
And there were CDs strapped to the front of every computer magazine that was on the shelves.
I'm laughing as you're saying that because I remember that well. CDs on the front of magazines, but I know for a fact many of our listeners will not have a clue what we're talking about.
Well, so one of the things that I was involved in was the process that when you put one of those CDs into your computer, it took you through what we would probably recognize today as a checkout that was built onto the CD and obviously collected your name and address and your billing information and so on. And that was your sort of sign up to the internet service that we provided. And so that was, yeah, I guess my earliest introduction to something that you might call e-commerce, because it was, we were focused on trying to optimize that sign up experience, that sort of checkout. And that's the first introduction to that whole world of sort of trying to digitally convert customers from you know into paying customers. It was very very early on in my career that I was exposed to that.
And how did you go from selling people access to the internet to selling stuff on the internet? Because that's a massive shift. But although the fundamentals of it are quite linked from the consumer standpoint, actually it's quite two very very different industries. So how did you end up selling fashion online?
Yeah, so I spent about 10 years working in ISPs and telcos, and then just looked for a slight change in career, and ended up working for the first e-commerce business that I worked for, which was a retailer called eSpares, selling spare parts for home and garden appliances. So not a particularly glamorous product, but a really interesting business that, you know, you really felt we were helping people to repair things themselves and fix things that would, you know, potentially otherwise end up in landfill, very much aimed at consumers. And that was it, really. That was the world of sort of e-commerce proper that I was hooked into, and then worked in various different sectors, worked for some appliance manufacturers doing a similar kind of thing with their spare parts and aftermarket products. Sold premium alcohol online for a startup in that space, and then ended up in womenswear at a brand called My Wardrobe before I moved 9 years ago to Moss, to the world of menswear.
So everyone listening, a lot of experience for Matt here in e-commerce. We're going to really enjoy this one. A lot of our listeners are international. I don't know how well the international listeners would know Moss. Everyone in the UK is going, well, obviously I know what Moss is. It's like, I got married in a Moss suit, etc. But tell us a little bit more about the business, just to get those who are listening from overseas in the zone. Where in the world is Moss, and where are you selling to?
So Moss is a business that was founded in Covent Garden in London in 1851. So been around for a little while. Founded by a chap called Moses Moss, handed over the business to his two sons, Alfred and George, and was a suit retailer up until 1897, when Alfred loaned one of their suits to a friend of his who was an aspiring pianist, and they struck a deal on sort of paying for the cleaning of the suit whenever he needed it. And then that was the launch of our Moss Hire department. And so we've been a joint hire and retail business up until fairly recently, focused on suits and men's formal wear, as you say. And we always sort of shrug at Moss when we hear about new business models in fashion and you know, changes to challenging the mainstream retail business models with these new upstart sort of rental businesses. We sort of shrug and think, well, we've been doing that for 125 years. But Ohio is only a relatively small amount of our business, about 10%. We are predominantly a retail business. And yeah, I guess for anybody who doesn't know us from who's not from the UK, we've got, you know, strong historical association with royal and society occasions and, you know, outfitted the British military in the World Wars and things like that.
And it's 10% hire. Is that all done through the physical stores, or does the hire happen online too?
No, online and in stores as well, yeah. So we're an omni-channel business for both retail and for hire. You can start your journey online and finish in store, the other way around for both our retail and hire offering.
And product-wise, is it all suits that, or products that are Moss branded, or do you have other brands that you sell as well?
We do sell some other brands. That used to be a bigger part of our business, but we're really focused on our own brand now. We've made a lot of changes post-pandemic, and we've really focused on growing our casual wear business. We've really transitioned from being pretty much a solely suiting business, and one that was reliant on sale and promotion, I have to say, up until the pandemic, and really repositioned the business to a premium quality menswear retailer, selling at prices that are more competitive than some of our premium rivals, but very much focused on casual wear, holiday wear at the moment, and not just the suiting and formal wear.
We used to sell a lot via promos and sales, and now we've repositioned to be competitive but premium is almost the dream. I mean, you hear so many brands going, the consumers will only buy when we give them a big discount. They'll only buy when they give a big discount. How do we get through that? Obviously, the pandemic gave you a time to do a big reassess and rework, because there clearly people weren't as interested in suits or hiring suits over that time period. How have you turned it from discount, 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 deal, deal, deal to where you've got to now? How does one go about doing that?
Well, I mean, not selling anything in 2020 was the starting point. I mean, it wasn't quite that bad, but that being totally reliant on one category of suits in a year when hardly anybody went into the office, pretty much all weddings were cancelled, all of the big sort of things like Royal Ascot Partner, I was obviously cancelled, all the other race day, all of those reasons that guys had for dressing up smart and putting a suit on were pretty much cancelled that year. And so we had to reassess what we were doing as a business. And it was, certainly we wanted to broaden the offering and not be so reliant purely on suiting and formal wear. But it also just gave us a platform to reassess the product and the pricing strategy and promo strategy and say that, we're on a merry-go-round of promotion like so many businesses are. And you're ending up focusing on the things that you shouldn't be focusing on. How do we annualize the promotion that we ran last year to try and drive the same? It takes away from the focus on delivering what you should do, which is obviously amazing product and great in-store and digital experiences. And so coming away from that has just allowed us to focus on those things and be a much better brand as a result.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because as I was saying, like for most people, it's like our customers are addicted to discounts. But actually, as you've just outlined, we as a business are addicted to, even if we haven't written on our strategy, we are a discount seller. If we've got a constant cycle of discounts and buying product to enable that discount and merchandising are thinking about what's next week's discount all the time and marketing are going, well, it's not going to match up to last year because we did 20% off last year and you're only doing 5% off this year, or all those things, then actually it might not be written on the strategy board, but you are a business that is built around discounting. So it's a huge shift, isn't it? It's absolutely everything.
Yeah, it is. And I think it took a total reset, not just a period where sales were difficult, but a period where, almost no sales were happening at all for us to be able to say, well, look, there's no point annualizing anything. There's no point thinking about what we were doing this time last year and what promo was driving what. Let's just totally reset and rethink everything. And right across the business, everybody has focused on, delivering amazing product. So we've got some awesome product and product technologists and designers and buyers have really started where it has to start, which is to improve the product offering, focus on the quality of the product. And then that's given everybody else something to focus on. So, rather than promo and discount, because we've got amazing product with fabrics from some of the best mills in Italy, and there's your story, there's your thing for marketing to talk about and obsess about and try and get across to our customers, rather than is it 15% off or is it 20% off.
I think it's the most interesting way I've heard of anyone leveraging the pandemic to help the business. Right, we're in this position, we've had the stop button pushed, how are we going to reemerge? And I guess, even if there's not a pandemic, a business could choose to make that decision, but it's a painful one, to go, right, as of next season, we're not doing discounts anymore, we're shifting to something else. But does it have to be that solid and all company shift, do you think, to make the move work?
You would have to go through something as dramatic as the pandemic in order to do that. I think that was a platform for change that was handed to us. I think it would be entirely possible, but I think it needs patience. It needs agreement from everybody that this is the right thing to do and that we are going to move away from that discount drug. And it's going to be painful at times because you're going to have times where you need the sales but is there a way of achieving that just doesn't involve discounting the product?
On the marketing side of things, do you find it's made the team more creative when they've had that challenge, you know, rather than just going, oh, let's just do a discount. They've gone, actually, what can we do? How can we do this? And has it been more, just to add another big question in, has it been more about the messages that they're putting out there for the customers or the marketing methods they're now using?
It's about the message more than anything. And yeah, I think the big difference is how focused everybody is on the product, because, you know, that's where it all starts. Every pre-season, marketing teams, agencies, and sort of everybody who has a hand on it in the business will be, you know, taken through all of the products by the buying teams and the designers, so that everybody can understand every decision that has gone into that product being the way it is. You know, the provenance of the fabrics and the design decisions, the styling decisions, and it just gives everybody so much to work with when it comes to, you know, photographing the product, writing about the product. That's internal teams and agency partners that will come and will get that sort of, you know, fashion show presentation of, you know, what's coming up in the season. What are the color stories that we've focused on? What, you know, why have we made the decisions that we have? The product teams have thought incredibly carefully about the way they've brought together the collections. And it's their opportunity to really sell it internally and get everybody to understand their thinking and their rationale behind why the product looks the way it does and feels the way it does and wears the way it does.
So frequently in a business, all that hard work that the buying team and the product team do in putting the collection together, finding the right items and everything, just gets lost. And so often you see the e-commerce team and the shop team just being given what ends up on the website, which is usually about 5% of the thought process that went into creating that product.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just allowed us to transform the business in the way that we have. And yeah, we can't ever imagine going back to being reliant on discount. You know, it's not to say we don't have a sale at the end of the season, and obviously lines that have not sold as well will go into that sale, but it's, you know, it's very small. Most of our product just remains at full price, and obviously our running line suiting products and others will just remain at full price, and they won't ever be discounted.
Now, we were talking before we got on the podcast, and listeners, I know how annoying it is. She's referencing something we can't hear, but bear with me. We were talking before we hit the record button about how you have a very different seasonality to other e-commerce stores. Your season is very much a spring season, people getting ready for weddings, Royal Ascot happening, those big events at the beginning of the year, the springtime of the year, where people are wanting their, you know, their fresh new suits. So, you know, the Christmas period, the peak period for everybody else is a bit of a quiet one for you, but you still do quite a lot to leverage that increase in consumer interest in spending. So how do you go, you know, with all that we've been talking about already, how do you go about encouraging the customers to buy at the time of the year they're not normally buying, if that makes sense? Let's put a side of Black Friday in there too.
Yeah, I think, look, the first thing I'd say is that broadening of our product offering has helped. As you say, as a sort of purely suiting retailer, then, you know, weddings and prom, of course, and Ascot and those kind of events, yeah, generally in sort of spring and summer, and that was very much peak. There still is a peak of tuxedos and velvet jackets and things like that in party season, you know, sort of November, December, but much less typically than what we would see in the spring and summer. But yeah, we still participate to a small degree in Black Friday, and sort of casual wear ranges now just give our customers a reason to shop with us, you know, all year round, because, you know, a big proportion of our sales is now in casual wear. So big focus at the moment for this summer is on our holiday wear range, you know, fantastic product, beach wear and swim shorts and you know, a type of product that anybody that knows Moss from sort of 10 years ago just would not have dreamed of expecting to see in a Moss Bros store.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are.
Have you yet downloaded our ebook? To celebrate reaching episode 500, we've created an epic e-commerce success-focused ebook for you, packed with 500 top tips about how to make your e-commerce store more profitable, featuring the advice of many, many past guests alongside industry experts and many of you as well, our listeners. I've checked every single tip and organize the whole thing into sections for you, making it super easy to dip in and dip out and take inspiration as and when you need it. This ebook needs to be sat on your desktop or even printed and sat on your desk. Download your free copy right now at ecmp.info/ebook. Get 2024's most valuable e-commerce ebook now, ecmp.info/ebook.
It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. So Matt, are you ready for the top tips?
Yes.
Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
I know, I struggled with this one because some of my favourite business books are now quite old. I love a book called The Lean Startup. I think it's great advice for anybody in development projects. But the book that I think has probably had the most effect on me as far as my work is concerned is Don't Make Me Think by Steve Krug. It's probably been around for 20 years, but it's a hugely influential book in sort of realm of web usability, digital products. It's really about simplicity, putting yourself in the minds of the user of your kind of digital products. And yeah, I think almost sort of every week there'll be something that I look at and think, what would Steve Krug's approach to that be? How would that be simplified in a much better way than we've managed to do it? So that would be my one tip. I think it's still in print.
It's definitely still in print. I can see my copy of it from where we're sat right here. And it's like, if you have a new starter in e-commerce, you know, if you're going to give them a bundle of books, two or three books on day one, to help yourself out so as when they've got a slack moment in those first few weeks and they want something and you're too busy to give it to them, you can go, just read one of the books. You know, yeah. So if you're building that in, and you should be building that sort of stuff in for you and for them in a, you know, when you're bringing new people on board, that is totally one of the books should be there, because it's the granddaddy, the godfather of all conversion rate optimization and website design. It's a must have, I think, for anyone who's serious about e-commerce. So I love that. And I don't have a problem with older books at all. I think that's a good to go back sometimes.
Well, another one then that's been around for a long time is the Clue Train Manifesto. I don't know if you ever read that, but
no.
It's really, I guess, the foundations of what we would now call social commerce. Customers participating in the way products are developed, but also in the way products are sold. So, you know, the foundation of things like, you know, customer ratings and reviews and customer questions and answers and yeah, a really, really kind of fascinating look at the early development of that and how that's morphed into what we sort of think of now as social commerce.
Oh, I'm properly going to have to go and find that one. That's a new one to me. So thank you for that, Matt. Okay, traffic top tip next. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
I'm an SEO boy at heart. So the answer would always be organic search when it comes to traffic channels. You know, it's probably the hardest work of all channels is you know, optimizing for organic, but it keeps on giving. When you've done the hard work, you tend to benefit from it for quite some time. You know, unlike paid search, obviously, where, you know, you pay today, you get your traffic today, and that's it. You need to pay again tomorrow. The investment in SEO is something that delivers, you know, real long-term results. And we're all rewarded for doing the right thing by the customer, which is a result of Google conditioning us over the years and rewarding us for doing things that are essentially in the customer's best interests. And so from that perspective, always be focused on SEO probably more than anything else.
So another quick follow-up question on that then. We were talking earlier about how Moss has a much greater focus on product and the stories of the product and the quality of the product. Has that made your job with SEO easier? Because I would assume it has.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. So when it comes to writing content for the web, all of that great information about the fabric mills and the provenance of the fabrics that we use and the some of the techniques that go into creating the garments and so on is just, obviously copywriters love that sort of thing. It's just that's their fabric to work with and craft their sort of stories and content that really just helps to improve SEO no end by having that there rather than product that you know very little about and people are desperately trying to string some words together to make it sound interesting.
I'm glad that is the case because I'd have been really worried. my knowledge of SEO was way off if that one wasn't. Okay, the tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
Well, I just love the amount of browser plugins that we have for so many different things, screen capture or cookie editing or all of those things that as e-commerce people we kind of want to do and do really quickly. Just having that at the top of your browser, being able to click on that. And I've got, more Chrome plugins than your average person, I think. The software vendors, I think, have recognized this as well. We are big fans of Content Square, the analytics and a customer journey tool. And they've developed a Chrome plugin as well that allows you to just get to those, those really quick answers that you want on a page of, where are clicks going? What's the click rates here? And permanently got a lot of plugins on show and I'm constantly using those.
Doesn't surprise me at all. I think you can spot, you can tell an SEO obsessive or a CRO obsessive by the volume of Chrome plugins.
Yeah. That are viewport off, resizers and things like that. It's great. It's one of the things when people are sharing their screen on a call or anything, the first thing I do is I look at what plugins that they've got on their browser, and it gives you a sense of where their interests lie.
I love that. Anyone who's on a video call with Matt, watch out, as he's obsessed with your plug, with your, what's appearing on your browser for at least the first 5 minutes of any call. I love that. Okay, the carbon top tip. What's your favorite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
It's a really difficult one because it so depends on, the product that you're selling. I think, we're looking at, I mentioned our hire business, obviously has been around for a very long time. That product is obviously getting reused and doesn't end up in landfill and has lots of customers during its life. We also have a very fast growing made to order business called Custom Made. And that obviously has some really strong environmental benefits. There is no wastage there. Everything is made individually for every customer that wants that. So, I guess that would be one area I would want to look at if I was, working for another business. What could you do that is made to order that reduce, some of the waste of, excess product that, doesn't get bought or ends up in landfill?
Brilliant answer. Yeah, getting to grips with the product is always the big one in e-commerce. So thank you for that, Matt. Before we say goodbye, could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business on the web and social?
Yeah, you can find us at moss.co.uk, or if you're in the US, it's us.mossbros.com. And we're on all the usual social channels.
Brilliant. Matt, thank you so much. It's been lovely catching up with you and learning a bit more about what Moss has been up to recently. So thank you for being so generous, coming on the podcast and sharing it all with us.
Thank you very much, Chloe. It's been great.
Great to catch up with Matt there. And two hugely fascinating subjects. First off, how do you go about getting yourself away from Discount City? It's got to be whole company, and it's got to be, or it's going to be painful. It doesn't got to be painful, but it is going to be painful. That's really interesting. And then how they deal with their seasonality in terms of taking advantage of the sales opportunities that are in their off season, so the autumn and Christmas ones, but also the range expansion piece as well. Loads of good stuff there from Matt. Really cool to get a look behind what's going on at such a huge men's fashion retailer here in the UK. Matt mentioned that he is very into SEO, and Matt was part of one of our SEO episodes over on our sister podcast, Keep Optimizing. In fact, in episode 200, we had Matt on and Brad from Remarkable sharing the Moss SEO strategy and what's been working for them. So if you want to know more about what Matt's up to in terms of SEO, head over to the Keep Optimizing podcast and check out episode 200. Back to this episode, though, you can get your hands on all our notes from this episode, including those top tips and links to what we've mentioned, by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast, or use our direct episode short links. Just put ecmp.info/the number of the episode into the URL bar, and you'll be redirected straight to the right episode page. When you get to the website, why not add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of the other things I share to help you improve your business? This is the first of a little month-long focus on fashion. So stay tuned for more fashion episodes. And if you want the rest of our fashion episodes, then go to ecmp.info/fashion, where you will find every fashion episode that we've ever done. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners like you to succeed and thrive with your businesses, including progressing along the path to net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I hope you have a brilliant week, and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.
It's time to download our 500 top tips to make your e-commerce business more profitable ebook. Go to ecmp.info/ebook now.